We are studying together these days the God whom we worship, the God whom we trust. It is wonderful to know that sinners like you and me can come into the presence of a holy, righteous God, even the Almighty, and not only revel in our relationship with Him, but in the One who gave Himself to redeem us out of all iniquity. To know that we can come in the presence of the eternal sovereign God and know Him, enjoy Him, commune with Him, experience His presence day by day, and know something of the grace of God, whereby this One who gave Himself to redeem us out of all iniquity loves us with an everlasting love, for having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end, and it takes nothing short of an omnipotent God to do this. And yet not only omnipotent, but one who is full of grace and truth. One who is love, full of mercy, full of tenderness, full of compassion toward men. As we've been following through the revelation of God in His names, as Elohim, the One who created all things. And He created man, and He still loves men. Even though men have rebelled against Him, He still loves them. He wants them to know Him. And He has made provision whereby men can really know God, to come back into that place of relationship and fellowship. The sin question has been settled. Our Savior has perfectly satisfied the righteous character of God for us. And when we come to the revelation of God in His names, I just bow in humble worship and thanksgiving for such a God, for such a Savior. Now, we've taken up this question of His name as Elohim, used 2,700 times in the Old Testament. He's the Creator, the Mighty One. Then He was revealed to Abram as El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, that our God owns everything. Our Savior is the heir of all things, and our inheritance is wrapped up in Him, for we're fellow heirs with Him. And then He's revealed, as we've been discussing, as El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the Nourisher, the One who is sufficient for the needs of His people. When someone says, is your God big enough to meet your need? We say, He certainly is. Not only big enough to meet my need, but big enough to sustain us in affliction, sorrow, tests, trials, you name it. He's big enough to sustain us. And in His own time will bring us through it. For there hath no temptation overtaken us, but what is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow us, suffer us, to be tempted beyond that which we are able, but will with the testing, with the temptation, open a way of escape. He's El Shaddai. Now this was the revelation of God to Abram when he was 99 years of age. And as I said in our last lesson, I repeat it, even Sarah had learned something, that her God was El Shaddai, the enough God, the sufficient God. And when God said to Abram when he was 99 years of age, I'm going to give you a boy through Sarah. Not only did Abram believe that, but Sarah believed it. They both believed it. They staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but were strong in faith, believing that what God had promised, that's exactly what He would do. He's the El Shaddai. Now, let me go on in our study of El Shaddai. He's also the fruitful one. You remember in Genesis 28, Isaac mentioned the fact of being fruitful. El Shaddai, make you fruitful. It's repeated with Jacob in Genesis chapter 35 and also chapter 49. El Shaddai, remember that these Old Testament men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so on, they knew God as El Shaddai, the One who is sufficient for all our needs, just as I mentioned a moment ago from Hebrews 11:11 concerning Sarah, who by faith By faith, Sarah herself received strength to receive a child, bear a child. She counted him faithful. He's the fruitful one. He can take a woman who's barren and make her bring forth children. He can take a body like Abram at 99 years of age and quicken that body. Why? He's El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient God. But likewise, I must also say, as El Shaddai, he is the one who chastens his people. Now, here's rather an amazing thing. I can understand him as the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, renewing the body of Abraham and Sarah so that they can have a boy. I can see him as El Shaddai, the Almighty God, doing wonders. But what about chastening his people? Yes? Yes, you remember in Job chapter 5 we read in verse 17, "Blessed is the man whom El Shaddai chasteneth." You know, I was staggered at the book of Job. That's an amazing book, by the way. And over 30 times in the book of Job, he is called El Shaddai. Now, this is one of the reasons why I believe that Job wrote the book of Job long before Moses came on the scene. I don't believe Job had any connection with Abram and Isaac and Jacob, as far as I know. But he did know that God was El Shaddai, that his God was the Almighty God. Blessed is the man whom El Shaddai chasteneth. You remember in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 6 to 11, you have the story there. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. He chasteneth every son whom he received and scourges them. And he does it in love. He doesn't do it in anger. God doesn't chasten his children in anger. He chastens them because he loves them. Just like my mother. My mother sometimes wailed the tar out of me. That's not good language, but you know what I mean. Not because she hated me, but because she loved me. Now, she never licked the neighbor's children. Sometimes I wish she would, but she didn't. She took it out on us. Why? She loved us. I had a wonderful, wonderful mother. Little wee woman, but she was all woman. And I've thanked the Lord a number of times, scores of times, for a mother who could take me in hand when I was a boy and chasten me. What for? Not to make me a bad boy, to make me a good boy. She loved me. Yet the prophet says, a mother may forget her child. I will not forget thee. And chastening is not very nice while you're going through it, but it produces something, as Hebrews 12 says. And so Job says, blessed is the man whom El Shaddai chasteneth. You remember in the book of Ruth, that little book of Ruth, which comes between Judges and Samuel. Do you remember Naomi has gone down. She's lived down there in Moab. She's lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. And she's ready to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. She's sour. She's bitter. And this daughter-in-law of hers, Ruth, has learned of El Shaddai, of Jehovah, of the Lord God of Israel, through Naomi. And she's fallen in love with the God of Israel. So she wants to travel with Naomi. And Naomi says, no, you stay where you are. You stay where you are. I've got no more boys to give you. She's just plain sour. Like some Christians. You know, we get sour. Sometimes bitter. And so she says, no, I can't give you any more boys. But Ruth persisted and said, your God's going to be my God. Where you go, I'm going to go. And Ruth persisted on this. But what I want to get is down in verse 20, the first chapter. When she comes back to Bethlehem, Judah, where she had left to go down to Moab, she met all her old friends. They said, my, it's wonderful. Naomi's come back home. Now listen to what she said. And she said to these neighbors, don't you call me Naomi. By the way, Naomi means sweetness. Or if you put it this way, don't you call me honey. I take it she must have been a pretty sweet woman. They called her Honey. She said, "Now don't you call me Honey. Don't you call me sweet. You call me Mara. I'm bitter, bitter. You can just hear it. Call me Mara." "Why?" "For the Almighty El Shaddai hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full." "Oh, I thought it was a famine." "Yes, but I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then do you call me Naomi? Why do you call me Honey? Seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the El Shaddai hath afflicted me." That's what I mean as El Shaddai. He afflicts, but he has a purpose in the affliction. What for? To bring Naomi back where she can be blessed again, where she can be get rid of her bitterness and her sourness and become sweet again. I refresh you, it's in love that he chastens us. You see, friend, God wants to produce in you and me something that parallels his character of righteousness, of holiness, of love, of tenderness and compassion. But sometimes we want our own way. And the result is, when we want our own way, sometimes we get bitter when we don't get our own way. And I know Christians today who are bitter. They're sour. They're no testimony for the Lord just because they didn't get their own way. Now may the Lord deliver you and me from being bitter. And sometimes the Lord has to chasten us, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. Now listen, look in the 91st Psalm, first verse. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he that dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai." Now he uses both words here, kind of like this. You see, he's the one who preserves his people. He takes care of his people. We'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't it wonderful? Just like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings when trouble comes along, isn't it wonderful? You and I can run and hide in him. Who? The El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He's the one who preserves his people. And then you remember in the book of Joel chapter 1, in Isaiah chapter 13, Revelation and so on, he's the one who was mighty in judgment. I just mentioned that. He's the one who was mighty in judgment. And then in the New Testament, he's the one who calls us to separation from evil. And you know, it takes nothing short of the Almighty God to preserve us and to strengthen us and to nurture us, be sufficient for us as we stand against all evil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, where he speaks asking his people to come out from among the unsaved or those who hate him, and touch not the unclean thing, calling for a clean life in the midst of moral corruption. It may be I'm talking to young people today, and you're surrounded by young people who are corrupt and they want you to be corrupt. May God grant to you the revelation that your Lord, your Savior, is El Shaddai. And it's as El Shaddai he called Abraham to separation, and as the El Shaddai, as the Almighty God, he calls you and me to separation. But he supplies all your every need. "I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty, saith the El Shaddai." Now, may I give you one more? In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, will you remember this one? The eternal God is El Shaddai. But who is the eternal God? Let me read it to you. He's just been talking about, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Who's going to come with clouds? The Lord Jesus Christ. "Every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the El Shaddai." The El Shaddai. Verses 17 and 18. "Fear not, I am the first, I am the last. That is, I am the beginning and the ending. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of hell. This is our God. This is our God, who's going to come in the clouds of heaven. Who is he? He's the El Shaddai. Jesus is our El Shaddai. Now you find that as you go through Revelation chapter 4, chapter 11, chapter 21. He's the one who is worthy of worship, the El Shaddai. Now let me go back to a verse I quoted a while ago in the Gospel through John chapter 8, verse 56. It's the last appeal of Jesus Christ to the Jews of his day. Now remember this. This is his last appeal. Starting in at chapter 9, he opens the eyes of a man born blind. When you come to chapter 10, he's the shepherd. He's going to have his sheep. In chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. In chapter 12, he's on the road to Jerusalem. 13 through 17, he's in the upper room with his disciples. This is the last appeal to Israel. He has just said in the beginning of the chapter, I am the light of the world. Not to follow me means to walk in darkness. Then he goes on to say, I'm the great deliverer from death. If you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. If a man keep my saying, you'll never see death. He's the great deliverer from bondage. He's the sinless one. Verse 46, which one of you can convict me of sin? And they go on and they say, why, who do you think you are, God? Who do you think you are, God? Yes, he said, yes, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Why, you're not yet 40 years of age. You've seen Abraham? Yes, before Abraham was, I am. Not before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I am. It's this one part I want. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I am your father Abram's God. Who was the God of Abraham? The El Shaddai, the Almighty, the All-Sufficient God. And Jesus could say in Matthew 28, 18, all authority, all power, all authority is mine. Where? In heaven and in earth. Oh, people say, I don't mind him having all authority in heaven, but I don't want him to have all authority on earth. But my friend, he's the El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient God. And believe me, these Jewish leaders, in John chapter 8, these Jewish leaders knew what he was saying. They knew what he was claiming. And they picked up stones to kill him. They claimed he was a blasphemer. He's claiming to be God. Don't tell me that Jesus didn't claim this. He claimed it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Aren't you glad, Christian friend, that your God and my God is El Shaddai? The one who was all-sufficient. The one who can meet your daily need, and he never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. No wonder we can sing, how great thou art. When God looked down upon you and loved you, and you and I were so bad, we were so sinful, we were so dead in trespasses and sins that nothing short of the work of an El Shaddai, of an almighty God, could redeem men and women. Only El Shaddai, the eternal God, the almighty God, can bring peace on earth. When I see the world in the condition it's in, who can, any man, any group of men, big enough to bring peace to this world? My friend, there's only one who can bring peace to this world, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is El Shaddai. He's the almighty God. Is he yours? Can you say, Mr. Mitchell, he's mine. I have put my trust in Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, as my Savior. And he's sufficient for my need. I may not understand everything. I may oftentimes wonder why at times he doesn't answer my prayers and meets my need, but he does. And he'll do it on time. And he'll do more abundantly than you can even think. That's the kind of a God we have. He's El Shaddai. Oh, my friend, those of you who put your trust in the Savior, why don't you worship him? Why don't you praise him? Every day, may we give him his rightful place in our lives, in our hearts, in our affections, in our devotion. Do it today, and the Lord bless you abundantly.